Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries recording welcomes started. You to the Thursday Morning Open Forum with Prophet Laron Matthews and co-host Evangelist Thelma Sidney, together by the grace of God.
Glory, hallelujah. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. We starting off good today. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning to everybody. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We thank you, praise God. Hallelujah for this morning. We thank you, praise God, for our visionary, our administrator. Hey.
Amen.
This truly is the day that the Lord has made. And we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you know, today is July 1st. A prophet, that means 3 days. Something is going down.
Yes, Lord.
23 days. In case y'all want to know what's happening in 23 days, it would be my birthday. But amen. Hallelujah. So we thank and praise God. Amen. For all of you that is listening in, this year, it's so wonderful to have you on this morning. You want to start us off there, you and mother?
Yeah. Since it's Thursday morning open forum, I'm just kidding, of course. We just bless the Lord for that. But before we go into prayer, it's been one of those phenomenal times. This week, leading up to this new month that we're in, we just bless the Lord for you, Evangelist Carlina Wilkes. We thank God for how you took us on in 2021 conference, dealing with those powerful number of 10 and blessing us with the word of God. I wanted to thank you so much for your sensitivity, your teaching, your blessing us, and how really God used you immensely. I saw you at a different place and a different level in ministry. Most of us see each of us doing teaching or sharing, but God really took you into a level of ministry. So I want to thank you so much for how you prophetically broken down those words and turned it around and gave us the clarity of his name out of that. And we honor the Lord for you on today. Walking in that thing, walking that message. You walked the floor of that message and blessed us. It's such a powerful word from the Lord. Not only was it a powerful word, but it was a life-changing word. And many of us, when we graduate into the next level, or we assume we graduate into the next level, it doesn't show. But it showed that you walked that floor, that you broke that word down, and you gave us a prophetic word from the Lord that's life-changing. And that word will be one of the words that I'll never forget. It's always going to resonate in my heart in our conference that we had in the 10 years. So I bless the Lord for you. I thank God for you. We thank God for all of those that are listening in and those that are calling in now, those that are joining us, and those that are connecting with us and will continue to connect with us. Because it's just going to get greater and greater. And we know that we're celebrating not only this, what God is doing in you, but we're celebrating your birthday that's coming up in the next few weeks. So thank God for you on today, woman of God. Thank God, Mother Sidney, Administrator Brian, and all the people of God that are listening in on today. Amen. Now I can pray, or you want to go first, Mother?
Wow, thank you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank and praise God on this morning, Lord God. We know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you today, Lord God, because you touched us, Lord God, and you woke us up and you gave us another chance, Lord God. And we're grateful. It wasn't an alarm clock. It wasn't a phone call. It wasn't a ringing, but it was your touch this morning that woke us up. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for healing in our body. We thank you for divine healing, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God that our mind is stayed upon you this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we ask you this morning that you continue, Lord God. We hold up the vision of the line, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Dr. Laurel Mackey this morning, Lord God. We ask you that you continue to bless him, that you continue to strengthen him, to restore, Lord God, everything that was taken out of him, all the virtues that was pulled out of him. We ask you that you restore him, Lord God, his mind, restore his spirit, restore his body, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that he may rest his mind, rest his spirit, rest his body, oh, mighty Oshakaya, God. And we thank you. We thank you for the man, God. We thank you for his sacrifice, God. We thank you for his obedience, Lord God, unto you, Lord God, that the people may be blessed on this day, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask you to bless Dr. Wilkes, God. Hiya, Narabo Shakaya, God, for what you are doing in her life right now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for her commitment, for her faithfulness, for her constantness, amen. Glory to God in doing your will, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, her studious in your word, Lord God. And as she teaches, as she ministers, God, it shows that she has been before you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask you that you continue to strengthen her. Go before her on today, word her mouth, Lord God. Continue to let the fire of the Holy Ghost come out of her belly, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, on this day, God. Lord God, we thank and praise you for our young people on today. We know what they're up against. We know they're up against the peer pressure, Lord God. We know they're up against making decisions for their life, Lord God. Those that have completed high school, completed college, God, some is going to college. They have to make a major decision because there's another chapter in their life, God, that is beginning to open up, God. We ask you, Lord God, that you give them wisdom, Lord God. We ask you that you guide them and guide their parents, guide their step, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, to do the right thing, Hamidioshakaya, God, and whatever area, Lord God, that they desire to go in school, Lord God, go in work, go in a trade school, whatever they do, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, God, that you open up their mind, Lord God. Let not the academic work, let not the job work, let it not be hard, Lord God. We ask you to open up their understanding, Oshakaya, that you give them wisdom, God. Even at an age right now, God, give them wisdom to go in and out the doors, God, of the Oshakaya, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, and most of all, those that are not saved, God. Lord God, we decree and declare, Lord God, that they have that opportunity to get saved, God, in the name of Jesus. They don't know Jesus and the pardon of their sin, Lord God, that opportunity will be available for them in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you today, God. Lord God, we pray for our prayer list, God, for those that ask for prayer, God, if for sons and daughters, God, aunties and uncle, mothers and fathers, Lord God, sisters and brothers, Lord God, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, we know that you're the chief physician, Lord God. We know that you're able to heal, Lord God, not just the sin sick soul, but you're able to heal the body, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We ask you to bless them, Lord God, that you heal them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we pray for the bereaved family, Lord God. But most of all, Lord, today, Lord God, we pray for the Hankerson family, Bishop Hankerson, Lord God. Lord God, give him that comfort in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that he need on today, God. As he eulogizes his wife on today, Lord God. Lord God, give him a comfort, God. Give him an anointing, Lord God, in the Moshakaya, God, to help him, Lord God, to eulogize his wife, his mate, God, in the name of Jesus, his best friend, Lord God. First love, Lord God. How many the Oshakaya, God? In the name of Jesus, Lord God, you comfort the children, comfort the mother and the father. Oh, God, comfort, Lord God, the church home, Lord God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, because today and tomorrow, God, is going to be such a hard day, Lord God. Hamidioshakaya, God, for them in the name of Jesus and extended friends and family, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, and we thank and praise you, Lord God. We know that you're able to do it, God. We know that you're more than able to do it today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we'll forever give you the glory and the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now for your handmaids on today. God, we thank you for your servant. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this season of our life, God, as you brought us over on the other side of 2021. Now, God, we come with a heart of repentance. God, we ask that you forgive us, Lord, of every sin that we have committed against you, God, by words, by thoughts, and by our deeds. God, you said in your word in the book of Jeremiah 33:3, if we call upon your name, God, you will answer us. Then you will show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We thank you for the leading of your word, God. We thank you for the great and mighty intercessors and prayer warriors and ministry gifts that are operating in the kingdom of God. We thank you for the turnaround in this season, God. You said in your word, they that know their God will do great exploits. God, we know that you are the God of eternity, and God, we know that you're operating in the spirit of time on behalf of the people of God. Father, we thank you right now for this day, Lord, that you have established, Lord. Strengthen the woman of God. Continue to use it for your glory, God. Let your power, your anointing saturate her, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now for those that will be listening in, Lord, generations that will be touched by the sound and the frequency of the woman of God. We thank you right now for the continued prayer, those who continue to stay steadfast, unremovable, abounding in the word of God. Those that are continually fasting, God, we ask that you would direct them right now. We lifting up the Hankerson family, as Mother said, Lord, strengthen even Mother right now in the name of Jesus. Let it be a strength to those good kingdom leaders, Lord Jesus, that have lost family members and loved ones, Lord. We thank you right now for bringing us through that obituary year into this year, God. Cover those that are continually grieving on the loss of loved ones. Give them the strength that they need. Cover our families, Lord Jesus, on this conflict line. Father, we thank you right now. Now, God, we come against a strong man and a spirit of backlash and retaliation. We come against ancient spirits that will try to visit our bloodline to retaliate against the word that have been sown in the lives of your people. Father, we ask right now, move over the database of our mind, God, that we have memory recall of everything that has been taught, preached, spoken, said, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Cover the young people right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Cover that generation, God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen that generation. Saturate them, God, with a new understanding and a new level in you. And Father, we thank you for it in advance. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Amen. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning again. Let me make a correction. Today is July 2nd. That means 22 days. I done got sold off. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank and praise God for our visionary. Amen. Allowing me to just come. We know that it was the time we used to do this every Friday. Now we're at the point for the last couple of years. We have been doing first and third Friday. And today we have a young pastor, Pastor Aaron. Amen. Ark Fellowship Church. I think I hope I might be butchering it all up. He's going to be talking with us later. Amen. He's going to be tag team with me. Hallelujah, on Friday. He's going to introduce himself a little later. But I want to say this before we start taking questions. Every young person that is on this line, you say, who is the young people you're talking to? I consider everybody 40 years and younger young. So everybody, you can feel young in your mind. So that's not, you know, I know. But I'm saying when I'm speaking to young people, I'm talking about 40 years and younger. Because it makes me old enough to be your mother. That always puts that in the category when I am speaking in the generation because I have 18 grandchildren. And I have four adult children. And my oldest child is 39. And I want to say this to all of you that support me. Talk about the 40 years and younger. On Friday morning, you may never say nothing, but you get up in the morning. I don't know where you're calling from all over the world. 7 years. In August will be our 7th. Year anniversary that we have been on Blog Talk Radio talking to the youth. But on Sunday morning or afternoon, an administrator walked up to me and said, woman of God, hold out your hand. I was like, what is she doing? And my mouth just dropped. I can tell you. In a whole different respect. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the young people. For those of you in Alabama, especially, send me that blessing. I want to thank you. I want to thank you from the depth of my heart because that was so unexpected. And I said, God, oh God.
Hallelujah.
And to the young man especially, you made it your way to JR to get that money, told him to get the money to his mother and make sure that lady got it. Young man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know what it is. Hallelujah. Gloria, ba 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 ba, it felt to me, hallelujah, as I'm talking, and this just came to me. This is the woman, God, that had the issue in her body. Pressed her way in to get to Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. But because you press your way to make sure that I was blessed by you, I'm praying that everything that is hindering you from being free from the cares of this world that's got you bound, that God will just begin to turn it over. You will rise up. And God will begin to give you an industry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A portal of wealth in the industry. Hallelujah. That you will be able to hire men and women. Oh, God. Hallelujah. That he will give you a corporate office. That you will be able to be a blessing, a blessed ministry to those that are homeless, those that are widowed, those that are aged. Young man, I'm asking God to move upon you because you didn't have to do what you did. And for those others that bless me, hallelujah. I'm asking God to do something special for you as well. Because you didn't have to. It doesn't matter if it was 50 cents, if it was one dime, one penny. If you had sent me a quarter, I would have been happy because that would have been more than I had. Hallelujah. I bless you, young people, for doing what you did. I wanted to take this time to show, tell you how much I appreciate it. Because, again, it was not expected. And I was just in awe. In shock. It said you thought about little old me. I was like, they did that for me? I felt like I was, I felt like I was on the level of Queen Elizabeth or somebody. I did. And it just that's how much I appreciate you young people. For those others that is other in Massachusetts, Arizona, a mighty 60 down in Mississippi, those are others that I may be listening in, groups that I don't know, and group leaders, I bless you. Every prayer that you pray for the evangelist, I appreciate it. Your prayers have held me up. And I wanted to give up down through the years. And it seems like that there was no way that I was not making an impact. They're not listening to me. The young lady that gave her testimony, that how she came to the line, when she came to the line, and she was 17 years old, and how the line changed her life from being a prostitute to a woman of God. She went from, as prophets say, a rehab, and God rehabbed her life, and now she is a rose. I thank God for her. I thank God for all the testimony, the young man out in Arizona that listened to the line said how that he was about to commit suicide. These testimonies that you give, they stay with me. They stay with me. But don't ever feel that you don't have somebody to listen to. Tell your friends. They don't have to cash in and throw in the towel. There's a lifeline prophetic conference line that they can dial in, and they can just listen on the other end and receive something from God to let them know that somebody cares. So with that being said, hallelujah, glory to God. Come on in, Pastor Aaron, introduce yourself so then we can go ahead and get these questions rolling.
Great morning. Great morning. I'm Pastor Aaron Myers, newly ordained. From my ministry is called Ark Family Fellowship. I'm out of Marion, South Carolina. I just want to say it's an honor to be on this line. Even when I got the invitation to get on the line, all I could say was yes. You know, and I got asked to join the line. You know, I got excited. You know, I'm not a person that I'm big about being seen. You know, because even growing up in ministry, I've always been a person where I didn't mind being behind the scenes. That's really, you know, how I was raised. I was raised in the spirit of servitude. So, but now God saw fit to kind of, God saw fit to put me on the forefront now. But I'm still, even now, even as a pastor, my first duty is to serve. So it's an honor. I'm just going to say, put this out there right now. I'm a stickler for questions. Because that's really how God deals with me. Before I receive a word, sometimes, you know, God even puts certain things in my spirit in a format as a question. So I may not know everything, but I do. I love questions. I'm open to questions. Because even for stuff that I do not know, sometimes God may give me wisdom on it right on that point and at that moment. And then there are times where I use it as a time to even study as well. So there might be some things that as the youth, as you begin to open up on the line, there might be some things that you may say that becomes confirmation for me as well. So I look at every opportunity to learn and grow from any given situation. I'm always open to learn. For those of you who don't know, I'm 25 years of age. And so some of you might want to ask, well, did you want to be a pastor or minister? I won't answer that question right yet because I can, but I won't. I'll just wait until the opportunity opens up, and then I'll kind of go into depth about how it even came about that I became a pastor. Because, like I said, I was not a person that cared to be seen. You know, I would simply serve whoever was needed to do. I would pretty much serve in the background. I didn't want to be seen too much. So if any of you have that question, you know, you can, of course, ask me later as we get into the open forum. And I'm excited. I really am excited. You know, you probably can't tell. I don't know. You know, sometimes my voice kind of shifts a little bit, even down to my whole demeanor. But believe you me, I'm very excited for what God is going to do on this morning. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Aaron and I were sharing last night, and we had a wonderful service in the Lord. Amen. And we found out a little bit about, I found out a little about him. And then, visionary, you didn't even know that the type of things that Pastor Aaron done as many of the things like questions and stick to things that God,
yeah,
he have the same type of spiritual appetite. See, when I was younger, our ministries, they're parallel. So
wow.
This morning, yeah, you didn't know. We know that you didn't know.
No.
He would say that. And then even to how God exposed the word to him, it's almost exactly identical. So This morning, we're going to open up the floor for those that's on Blog Talk Radio. You can put a message out there, a question or comment out on the chat room. Those of us on the prophetic conference line, you may be able to, and those in Blog Talk as well, if you want to. You can text 334-6152. If you want to ask a question and you don't want to be audible, 334-440-6152. Now, if you want for us to go into a deep study, you have a whole list. Don't have to wait the first or third Friday, and you just want us to be able to have the questions in advance. You can always email the Ron Matthews Ministry at gmail.com. An administrator will get that email to me so that I can be able to begin to do the research or and everything. And I have done that before. Young man, he had several questions, and I had just done a study on those things, and I emailed him back through administrator. So he got his in-depth answers to the questions that he needed to be answered by the Word of God. So any one of those forms. So we're going to open up the floor for open form for the questions this morning, because the first Friday is always directed to, well, every Friday is directed to the youth, but especially for the questions on first Friday. So, Administrator, do we have any questions on the floor?
God bless you, Dr. Wilkes. God bless you, Pastor Aaron, Prophet Matthew, Mother Sydney, and everyone that's listening on the line to the statement that you made about the young men and women that blessed you from Alabama. What I didn't realize, and that's why it's so very important to share these services on social media. These young people will go back and listen to the services afterwards. And when JR gave me the funds to give to Evangelist Wilkes, and he said, this is from this person, this is from that person, and I said, you said this is from who? And he called the name, and my mind went back to him because he's on drugs really, really bad. But he takes the time to go to that page on Friday, and he listens to Evangelist Wilkes. And J.R. said a couple of times he had called in, so we bless God for him. And he's a great guy. He's just off track a little bit, so we just keep all him and all the ones that showed lifted up in prayer, and we thank God for them, not realizing that so many go back and download. I mean, I see the download number on For Blog Talk on Fridays and on the first Saturdays and Thursdays and Wednesdays, but never realizing that so many young people are downloading that on Friday. And with that said, the first question is directed to Pastor Aaron Myers. So, Pastor, you are considered a youth, and I would say a millennial. Many millennials are tired of being persecuted for what they wear, the tattoos on their bodies, how they worship, the music they listen to, etc. And all they want when they come to church is to feel well. What is your take on this? What do millennials want from church?
Amen. The biggest thing is acceptance. Now, I understand, that even my ministry, we do teach come as you are. Now, I would say the only issue that I personally would have would, pretty much, okay, don't come in, just showing off your body. You know what I'm saying? Because, I do understand to respect the church. But as far as people having tats, that was something I personally don't have any tattoos, but I have siblings who have tattoos. I grew up around, you know, mostly adult members coming up as a child who had tattoos, things of the sort. And even down to attire, there have been situations where we may have to get attire under control. And it'd be mostly for women because being that my mother is a pastor, our ministry was mostly filled with women and children. So, but again, I personally don't judge people because in some cases, you know, that club dress may be the only thing a person may have. So we, as a church, we try to provide, you know, a cloth that somebody needs to lay something over their leg or something like that. And so from us doing that, that caused, you know, even one of our women in our church to, they were like, you know, I want to dress more appropriate. It, you know, it triggered in their mind because, you know, some people simply didn't know better. They don't, you know, if you're not taught, how would you know? So the biggest thing is acceptance. And I say so because I grew up where, you know, I want to say old school. I know I'm not that old, but I grew up with old school / traditional mentality. Now, the only thing that helped me was that my mother became a little more flexible as we got older. But starting off, I grew up where, you know, I couldn't do the things that the kids around my son age or even the Gen Z kids do, where they can just, you know, walk up and start talking to folks like that. You know, I grew up in an era where, you know, even if an elderly came to your house, oh, yeah, you could have spoken, say, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, whatever you need to say. But as far as being in people's face, you couldn't do that. So that even applied down to even church. You know, so I grew up where, in a sense, a child had to be somewhat censored or very censored. You know, some kids, you know, it may kind of vary. But at times, I could say that, you know, being censored could be a little problematic because there are times that as a child when you want to express yourself and you're automatically shut down. You know, you could say, I'm going through something, and because you're considered a child, and the assumption is that children don't go through that, but that's not so. So you automatically become shut down. So that, for me personally, that caused me to shut down. You know, as I recall when Prophet was, you know, speaking on my life on Saturday, and he said, you know, that child who stood in the who stayed in the corner and did not know what to say, you know, because I felt very censored even at a very young age. So it caused me to really say to myself, keep quiet to myself. But now that the times have changed, you know, I see more that you have, and I'm not trying to make it about a race thing, but more so that our black people, that we are now in a point where we're becoming more vocal now. We can express, okay, I've been going through depression. I've been going through anxiety. You know, because at one point, you couldn't be, or I couldn't be 12 years old or 10 years old saying, I feel like I'm going through depression, because that automatically got shut down. You know, it wasn't that spirit that got shut down. It was, you know, you were told, man, you'll be quiet. You know, because simply that it's a believer, okay, because you're a child, all you know to do is go outside, play, go to school, do whatever, come back home. So in any form of anything, you look for acceptance. And if you don't get it at home, you try to look for it at school. You can't get it at school, so you try to look for it at church. And so it hurts when you go to a church because you hear people of God. So when you reflect on the quote-unquote people of God and when they don't accept you, in some people's mind, it triggers, okay, well, if these are people of God and they don't accept me, does God accept me? Because you're expecting the quote-unquote people of God to hear from God. And sometimes that's the only way for some folks to even get to God, to understand who God is, because they don't have anybody on the outside other than going to church. So you may have a few that may try to keep going to church and they get shut down. Oh no, you can't wear that shirt too bright. There are some churches that practice tradition. You have to wear all white. That women couldn't cut their hair. Matter of fact, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was telling me that, you know, she went through some stuff, a whole lot of stuff, and it kind of caused a damper on her spirit. And, of course, what she did, she went to this church, and she literally lost some things, like, I mean, down to clothes, position, money, because she had to keep going through these different procedures. So when she went to this church, all she had was some jeans and a shirt. And so, of course, they were a little judgmental about that. And then she even had her hairstyle, you know, cut on the sides and, you know, like a little, a top going on. And they were a little judgmental pertaining to her hairstyle. So, you know, but, you know, there are different churches that practice different traditions. Now, I say my church, personally, we are a little more lenient. But I know personally, you know, for a woman, my expectation, and I'm trying to tread lightly on this because, you know, we got some people, well, my body, my choice. But see, when you honor the house of God, you begin to walk in that same manner. So it's not about me telling you what to wear. But even me as a man, I dare not go anywhere in the house of God. I'm sagging and, you know, I'm got a grill in my mouth, you know, stuff like that. You know, when you have a respect for God, then you begin to shift in that mindset that where you want to dress respectfully for God. Now, outside the church, that's your own business, but most definitely my expectation for the people who want to attend church, you know, you really have to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, if you've already been tatted, that's not, you know, I'm not going to say, well, yeah, you got to get that removed. You know, I really don't have I really don't know what to tell you pertaining to that in particular. Now, I would say to be mindful about tattoos because tattoos are, in a sense, like a form of branding, you know. It bothers me that when people are dating somebody and they brand that person's name on their body, you know, they might tattoo the person they're dating. They might tattoo, their mother's name on their body, the children's name. You have branded yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. You still can be forgiven for that. I mean, God's going to forgive you for that, if you know, especially when you go and ask for forgiveness for that. Because a lot of times, again, like I said, we are often destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We're destroyed for the things we don't know. We have people who grew up in that lifestyle where, okay, they just get taxed. They just, you know, they're, you know, everybody has their own vice. But, you know, so to know better is to do better. So some folks may simply, after they get saved, that's it. They're not doing tattoos no more. But, you know, again, everybody has their own vice. Some people might become, I heard some people say they're addicted to ink. They're addicted to the ink. You know, so which I did not ask them about that. It's just, that's just some people, just some conversing with people. And these are people who, you know, do believe in God. You can tell they have a love for God. They just are, quote-unquote, addicted to the ink, you know. So, but I do say be mindful of the branding, especially when people go and they go somewhere and they talk about they're getting, when they get a tattoo of a saying in a different language. Now, if you don't understand what that language is, that artist could tattoo whatever on your arm. You really don't know. You're just saying, oh, it means love. But even in the markings of that could represent something else in a different language. And sometimes a lot of languages are like that. You know, something, it could be interpreted to mean something else. Even some languages, I believe in Japan, certain signs mean the same thing. It's just a matter of how you either pronounce it or in the way in which you say it, you know, how you express it. The expression shifts, you know, the expression shifts. So, I know with love in Japan and hate is, you know, they're pronounced differently. But, you know, something like that, you know, there are some words that can mean the same thing, but it's a matter on how it's expressed. you know. But I would say, you know, if you have not been tatted and you desire to be tatted, I'm not going to tell you what to do, because people still going to do what they're going to do. And that's something I've learned in ministry. That's something I've learned in ministry. It don't matter if you're saved, unsaved, you know, lukewarm, are still going to do what they're going to do. But I would say be mindful, because you do not want to brand yourself. You do not want to mark yourself, you know, because that does show ownership. God looks for us to be in this. I say unblemished, I don't mean that you're not going to have natural scars, cuts, and bruises, but God is looking for what he created. I'm not going to say things are going to happen again, because I got scars, I got bruises, I got cuts, all kind of stuff, you know, but there are things that God looks for and that God honors, you know, and God honors you when you honor him. Amen. So that's what I have to say about that. But most definitely about acceptance, that is the greatest thing. People are looking for a place to belong and a place to be. And, you know, you'll be amazed that even if it means being hurt by other people, that's what folks will seek out, who will make them feel the most accepted. And they will literally settle, well, yeah, you know, they might verbally or, you know, abuse me or physically abuse me, but they still tell me they love me. You got some church that don't even express, you know, love. You know, I went to a service and I was real small. I was real good, real young. And I was in that service. I'm trying to recall this the way I saw it. But it's just this, that when I say fake, it means not calling the people fake, but the service, it seemed almost like I was trapped in some type of system or something. You know, it wasn't even a matter of people praising and worshiping God. You know, it was by order, by the book. You know, I grew up in a setting where, you know, at least how my mother, who was my pastor, how she brought us up in ministry, was that we allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way. We allowed God to have his way. You know, so when you feel that liberty to be expressive, whether it be naturally or spiritually, is cut, that will cause a lot of people to run away from the church. I personally, even though, my mother, you know, I grew up with my mother being a minister, and from being a minister, evangelist going on to be a pastor, you know, I personally was through with quote-unquote church, and I had no issue with serving and assisting my mother, but I was personally through with church. So, you know, because we look for that acceptance, and if we're not accepted, we're going to either, like I personally, I would go off alone, I would be to myself. I didn't have to be with a whole lot of people. I would literally go into a place where I don't have to be seen from nobody, I don't have to be bothered from nobody. But in the same note, you'll have people who will look for any place. If that means going to the streets, if that means going to that girl house who you know don't mean no good, if I mean going to that guy house who you know don't mean no good, you know, people will pretty much seek out whichever place shows them the most attention. You know, I'm not going to say love, because love does not destroy. You know, but you'll have people seeking out the closest thing that they can interpret as love, a form of affection. You know, yeah, we might be running the street, but them guys, they call me brother.
Yes, Aaron.
You know. Yes, ma'am.
Can I interject something here to the young person that is asking the question about being accepted?
Yes, ma'am.
This is critical for the millennium as to being accepted. I have two granddaughters. One, my eldest granddaughter, who just graduated from high school. And it's a blessing that God has let us. It's just the prayers of the saints and me talking and keeping contact with her. she struggles with about her and different things like that. And this isn't even, she doesn't even go to church, but this is the acceptance piece. And this is important that I want you young people to understand. Because this was a struggle when I was a child. And I was the oldest, and it seems like I always got in trouble because of somebody else. Always looked down on myself because I wasn't pretty, and I couldn't sing. My sister could sing, and she was getting all the attention. But let me say this one thing to you. I don't care if the other person that's next to you got a shape going down 40 width. She all that in a bag of chips. He all buff and whatever. It ain't about that. It's about what has God put in you, Y-O-U, that makes you different from everybody else. Once you tap into what makes you different than everybody else, and allow God to just stir and work on you. Even when folks don't accept you, God is going to send people your way that will love on you, that will appreciate you, that will encourage you. But take your focus off of the people. And this is what kept me bound for many of years. And for many years, because I had no self-esteem, because I was looking for acceptance in other people. Once God helped heal me of that, then there is some struggle sometimes. But I'm like, okay, I know you don't like me. You don't like me. So what? Maybe my gift is not meant for me to be servant to you. My gift may be to serve it to someone else. I was sharing with Pastor Aaron last night. I said, just as the sound of my voice, there is a frequency that is spoken for this alarm that everybody can't hear. Everybody can't hear the frequency that only a mouse can hear. Everybody can't hear the frequency of birds or animals. Whatever that frequency, the pitch that triggers them, they don't hear. But whenever the alarm or whenever that voice comes and releases into the atmosphere, you will know it. They will know it. Or you may not know it, but they will know it because you'd be like, well, I just see what God told me to say. You have something inside of you. A young person, if that's all you got is a pair of tennis shoes and some raggedy jeans, so I'm not telling you because if my finances are, I'm a Goodwill shopper. I'm sorry. People saying, "Baby, why are you telling your business?" I like thrift stores. I'm sorry. I know how to clean them. I know how to pray over them before I bring them in my house. I'm like, Lord, whatever spirits is attached to this that should not be, we ain't having this. And so I'm very, very careful. It's like when I bring furniture in my house, especially. I'm like leaving it outside, or praying over it and stuff. I'm disaffected in it. I'm doing something. Because I know that, and somebody's probably laughing at me, spirits hide. And they don't care where they hide it, just so that they can be, to make our lives miserable. I don't know why I'm way over here, but I'm here. So, young person, except the church or whoever you are not being accepted by, I'm going to tell you like Jesus told his disciples. When they go out by two, they don't accept you, shake off the dust, keep it moving. I'm putting it in Carlina's words. All right. Amen. Let's say we have another question.
This question says, I was a victim of dealing with an issue that Bill Cosby was convicted of, and I'm very, very angry that he was released when he admitted to doing what he did. The part that hurts, was never brought to, oh yeah, the person that hurt me was never brought to justice. 28 and angry, very angry, he was released. What do I need to do to get rid of this anger?
And God told me that this question was going to be asked this morning. He literally did. First of all, for all the victims that have been violated, you need not imprison yourself and continue to make yourself a victim. I'm not being insensitive to that because I have been violated myself. The thing with me, and I'm going to just share you, I'm being transparent this morning. I did not tell, this happened when I first, I probably was about 18 when this happened. I didn't tell my mother. I didn't tell my father. I didn't tell nobody. I felt so dirty, unclean, and most of them, the victims do. And it's not only females that become violated because it happens to males too. But I kept that for so long. And the person that violated me, because I never told, suffered horrible death. When I say horrible, it was horrible. But I still didn't tell nobody. The word got to me how he died. But after I got out the military, after serving 13 years, so I went in and I told my mother, this time I probably was about in my 30s or so. I told her, I told her, because it was one of her stepbrothers. She was so angry. And I thought my mother would have told my father. Father never knew. My father just recently found out about this in a conversation that I had, and he was angry. And I'm about this time, I'm in my 50s. Okay, he dead gone. Ain't nothing we can do about it. God got him. But I want you to say this. I want all of the listeners out there, say, man, we don't know if those people are telling the truth or not. But some folks would do stuff just to get money. Some folks would do stuff just to be in publicity. And they could be lying through their teeth. Just to see a person brought down, they don't care. And I didn't even watch none of his trial, none of that. So I don't know what went on. And I purposely do that. When celebrities or all this stuff, so that when I hear from God, I hear from God, because I have no insight of what was going on. But this is what the Lord has instructed me to tell the individuals that's asking these questions. Whatever pain that you have, I can deliver. You have to give it to God. And how do you give it to God? Say, Lord, I don't feel like, this is what I have to do. I don't like what I feel. I don't like how it's making me think. I don't like how it's making me be judgmental. I don't like how it's making me to react or anything. And I was listening to one of the broadcasts, Mother Sydney, I hope she was on. And she talked about when she was in school with the three bubble gums. I can't tell it how she told it. But I learned so much about that, the violation and how God will make it clear with the three bubble gums. I ain't going to never forget that. They tell the testimony like her. For you, woman of God, let me say this. If you are a believer, the word of God says, whom the Son has free, free indeed. The word of God also covers this. He said, now there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. If you have given your life to God, the blood that Jesus shed for you, it covered your sin. Once you receive the Spirit of the living God, you receive his love. Now you have to allow the fruit of the Spirit to operate, to root up. I'm not going to say that it's sometimes the memory is not going to come. I'm not going to say that the anger is not going to come, but the anger, don't sin. Don't keep rehearsing that in your mind over and over. Mr. Cosby has only one God to judge him. Man has already judged him enough. We were not there. Some of them was not there. Trust me. Some of them are lying. But God was there. He saw everything, and he has everything on record. Your violator may get a baby. He's not going to get away. God is going to vindicate your behalf. You may not know how. You may not know when. You may not know where. It's going to happen. As for you, you're going to be healed and set free. You're going to be set free today. So I want you to lift your hands up, woman. I want you to lift your hands up as I begin to pray for you. And you're going to be set free from this bondage of anger today. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is a 911 to heaven this morning. This 28-year-old woman of God, Lord, hallelujah, we know that you are on the main line. And we tell you what we want. Father, begin to go into the very room where she's at. Begin to dispatch your angels, oh God, to wrap around her. Allow your anointing to destroy the yokes Pull out, to God. A deep root of anger, bitterness, malice, and guile. Oh, God, against the oppressor. Of the anger from the violator, oh, God, and all the acts thereof. Lord, let no residue remain. God, we curse it at the root right now by the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, hallelujah. Begin to move, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we stand on your word. Whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Father, begin to lose peace. Begin to lose love. Begin to lose joy, oh God. Let it begin to overflow, oh God. Lord God, the more she say, hallelujah. Lord God, even she has to gurgitate. Lord, let it come out, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, even her countenance will be different. Her mindset will be different, oh God. Lord, her vision, oh God, her attitude, oh God, will be different in you. Father, we thank you for the divine healing and deliverance right now. In the name of Jesus. And we glorify you, oh God, hallelujah, for this soul, oh God, that is being aligned with your word to be set free and be free indeed. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, woman of God, I don't know if you're capable of letting us know, hallelujah, but Mother Sydney, if you feel around, if you could just share that portion about the three bubble gum.
I'm still here, Vantis.
Can you please share just a portion about the three bubble gum, please?
Amen. I sure will. It was a year that I was in college, and I was and I had to do a project. And in that project, my teacher's assignment, the teacher was walking around the room, and she said, we have to write a paper. And I was asking the Lord, please don't let her give me sexual abuse. And she turned it down, and I looked at it, and that's what it was. So as I did my project, I had three bubble gum. I had a white bubble gum, had a red bubble gum, and I had a speckled bubble gum. And in the classroom, I was telling them what the white bubble gum meant. The white bubble gum meant purity, unblemished, unspotted, innocent. Because I was doing it on sexual abuse. Innocent. Amen. And I told them, this is the young lady, you know, that's innocent. I've not been touched. Trust everybody. Trust authority. Trust whoever that comes in their life. They just trust them, and they have purpose and they have dreams. Now, I told them this speckled white, this bubble gum that was white and it had red speckled on it. I told them, I said, this young lady had been violated. All of her hopes and dreams, she didn't see no future. She distrusts people. She distrusts authority figures. She distrust me. Her life was broken. She didn't have that confidence in herself. Her life changed where she got the promiscuous, amen, and all of those things. Depression came up on her. Her attitude changed. Mild-mannered person went to a person of anger, bitter. You know, her character, attitude, all of that changed. And then as the years went on, that red bubble gum, as she gave her life to the Lord, I said that red bubble gum represented the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covered her and made her whole. She is now once again whole. All of the peace of the old Shekiah, God, that was broken in her life, broken relationship, broken promises, her mind was shattered. Glory to God, her heart was shattered. Her soul was shattered. And through the blood of Jesus, that red bubble gum brought every part of herself back to gather again. And she went on to excel in her life. Those are the three meanings of the bubble gum. And I just thank and praise God for that. And when I got through with the assignment and told them what it meant, there wasn't a dry eye in there because I told them, I said, look at me now. Hallelujah. I said, look at me now, even though being a victim. I said, but look at me now. They was crying. They couldn't understand. I'm still here standing. Because it's going to take God to make you whole. It's going to take God, amen, for you to go back. And even when the Lord had me to go back and pray for them, pray for those, the person that did it. Pray for them. Didn't realize that they was, he was in both of them. They were in torment, the woman and the male, in torment, going to a psychiatrist and taking pills. Couldn't sleep at night. Like the demons, like the devil was chasing them. All his life, the devil had been chasing them. Couldn't sleep at nighttime.
Wow.
And my heart went out to them. To both of them. I said, God, should nobody be tormented like that. Now the person that violated me, I'm saying this about the person that violated me. And I started praying for both of them, the woman and the man, because my heart went out. I had the heart of Jesus. And he had me to go over there and I prayed for them, prayed for their mind. Pray that they will get saved because I had forgiven them. I had forgiven them. And I always, if I have the opportunity to tell a story, I say, look at me now. Look at me now. Glory to God that I'm still standing. Still standing. Because of the grace of God. Because
Amen.
I could have helped. Anger, I could have held on to the bitterness, but I chose to give it to God. I bless you, Benny's Will. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother, for sharing that. And I love to hear it, you know, as a refresher. Amen. All right, Administrator, before we take the next question, come on and give us a commercial, and then we're going to come back. I'm sure that there is more questions on the floor.
Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful
end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreYou.org. That's WeRestoreTheLetterU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Administrator, is there any comments or another question?
This is the final is the final question I have. And the comments in the chat room, powerful questions this morning. And thank you so much, Pastor Aaron, for breaking that down about millennia. I'll be able to allow my grandmother to listen as well. The final question is it important to be a member of a church?
I'm going to say it this way. You have to have a person. Because the pastor that you've got gives is responsible to answer for your soul. That's the word of God. But I'm going to say this. If folks want to be members of secret society, they want to be a member of teams, social clubs, they want to be members of L&B or whoever else, if they find it important for them to be members of those types of things, why wouldn't you want to be a member of a family that God, He said, yes, He will give you a pastor after His own heart, and God will lead you to the right pastor. If we let him. So before, and I can tell you this, before I give my membership to anybody, I always ask God to direct me. I just don't sit in anybody's pew and pay my tithes to just anybody's church. And so far, God has given me some good choices. I have gotten good food. Even if they've been under additional leaders, organizational leaders, what have you. I just have been one of those protective type of child. And I have gotten some good nutritional food spiritually. And my mother, I've always appreciated this because she taught us this, and I didn't know what she meant by it, but this was always her illustration to us. We didn't have home Bible studies and stuff like that, but she would have. First of all, she taught us you don't run from church to church. Don't be doing that church hopping. One thing she taught us. And then the second thing she taught us is you can't eat from everybody's table. And so eat the meat, throw away the bones. I didn't understand that neither. I was like, okay, why is he telling us this? But now I'm over here in Zion. I have become seasoned in the Lord, seasoned, because I ain't thoroughly there. the Lord has allowed me to understand those simple things, but it has kept me spiritually sound for many of years. Because when I hear things that I know that ain't beneficial to my soul, I cast it out immediately. I don't let it sit resident in my mind or my spirit. And so for you that is asking this question, and this is Carlina's take, I'm just saying, you are to be a member, something, part of something that was important to you. Why not allow God to lead you to a pastor that he has designed for you to fellowship with and be accountable to feed you? Because every sheep needs a shepherd. I don't know no sheep that's out there in nobody's field and he don't have a shepherd over him, to watch over him. Because when you left to yourself, you leaving yourself dangerously for wolves to eat you alive. Now, visionary, now this is where I need your help at. I'm not going to, and I'll tell y'all in a minute, I'm not one. I don't memorize. I know the scriptures are there. I know what's in that word. But I can't tell you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 3, and it says, I'm not one of those type of preachers, so don't ever expect that from me.
Amen. And Dr. Wood, can I say something before you turn it over to the visionary?
Yeah, come on, okay, Aaron. I'm sorry.
yes, no, we fine. When you were speaking, and when a person asked the question about being a quote-unquote member, what I want to explain, too, is that there's a difference between people who attend church and then people who are members. See, a person can attend but not be active. A member becomes active. Now, I'm not saying that even if you are not a member of a church, I'm not saying that the person won't be powerful in God, but at the same time, like Dr. Wilson was saying, you know, you need that protective covering, you know, because you don't want to end up being a renegade person. Again, even she mentioned about hopping from church to church, you know, even, you know, I say to myself that I may study different things from, you know, I might say something a little different but I'm mindful about even doing that, because you do not want to, again, eat from every table. Matter of fact, there are some things that my pastor, my overseer, she may share with me, but I may not get a release to actually go to the link of that study until maybe a whole month later, because, you know, you have to, first of all, be spiritually equipped to take on certain things. So you're going to need that covering to even help you be equipped. And like she was saying, you don't want to call yourself just jumping out, doing ministry. I'm not saying that you won't be effective, but you will leave yourself open for attack. If you don't have that covering, you really are a sheep amongst a bunch of wolves, and that is a dangerous situation. But once again, there's a difference between attending a church, because there are some people, they're not members. They may not be a member from the church. They may attend their local church because they're going to feel, okay, I need to be in the house of God. I need to be around church folk. But you know, I've been found with some folks like that who may attend the church. They may not simply join just for the purpose of, okay, well, I ain't joined, so I can really come and go as I please. So there's a difference between a person who is attending and then once you become a member. You know, I know persons for our ministry, we've drawn up paperwork. You know, we have paperwork, so people, and it's a contract. It's just, okay, if you're going to say you're a member, then we're going to hold you accountable. You know, so when the woman of God said even about accountability, that is something that we all going to need. Everybody, I'm a believer that everybody needs a accountability partner. Everybody needs somebody or something to hold them accountable for what they do. You know, because I refuse, for nobody to sit there and not hold me accountable. So I thank God for my pastors, because there are some things that I may simply be wrong about, but, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. So she may come and say, Pastor, you know, and again, even though she's my mother, we have to, we even discern the difference between, when she's talking to her son and when she's talking to Pastor. I mean, we honestly have these moments where we have to, discern who or, is she talking to son or is she talking to pastor? Even down to me, am I talking to mama or am I talking to pastor? You know, and, what she jokingly says, see, it's a shame I got to call pastor to get, that's what she says to me, I got to call pastor to get something done. You know, because, my family know me. I can be indifferent at times. You know, other times I may simply not want to be bothered. But, see, with me being pastor now, that now holds me accountable. No, you got to get that attitude out the way. You know, you're not just dealing with Aaron. You're dealing with Pastor Aaron. You know, you remember now, you're still Pastor Aaron. So you got to keep yourself clear of being biased, keep yourself clear of being upset with this, perhaps having art with that person. You got to keep yourself, away from certain things. But I'm going to say it once again, there's a difference between attending a church. Because just because you attend doesn't automatically make you a member. When you become a member of something, there's a work to be done. People who just attend, they can come and go as they please. They're just, I can't even really consider them quote-unquote sheep, because even a sheep does not come and go. They might go astray, but they don't have the option of just simply coming and going as they please. A sheep knows, where home is. They might go astray, but to understand what home is. But most definitely for this person, if you're, like the woman of God said, if you're seeking membership from a church, then, again, let God lead you where to go. You have to really let God lead you where to go. Because I've heard testimony from some people that they've joined a quote-unquote ministry or they went under somebody's leadership. And, and sometimes it's both. Sometimes it could be that person who is that quote-unquote leader. I'm not calling nobody names because I just don't know. But I've heard people attest to, so-and-so, and they really be having a whole lot of mess going on in their church. I couldn't be there. And, sometimes it be the people. There's always three sides of every story. Your side, the person side, but also there's what God says, too. So most definitely, walk with that mindset. Keep that in mind that you're going to need a covering. I'm not saying that you are not powerful in God, because a lot of us will find that we really are powerful in God. It's just without that covering, it's only but so far you can go. Because when you're finally beat down and battered, of course you can still turn to God, but you still want to need that covering. You want to need somebody that's in your circle to really help keep you uplifted. Oh, okay, so I'm gonna turn it back. That's all I wanted to say pertaining to that. When that question was asked, that's the first thing that came across my mind, that the difference between a member and someone just simply attending.
And then also one that people visionary take over. And you said membership, and this is fun to me. There's benefit in being a member than it is just being on the outside. And I'm going to put it to you this way. I'm a union steward. I'm a chief union steward for federal agencies that I work for. We have people that is not members. We have people that are members. Now, the people that's not members, they can come to us and I have to still represent them because they're part of that agency. However, if they're a member, not that I would do this, I would go all out 9 yards. But if they're not a member, they ain't paying no dues, I can give them the sloppiest I can give them a sign and somebody this, but I'm not going to do that because that's not my character. But the benefit of them being a member is that if we happen to go into arbitration or if we have to go to an attorney, we have to seek legal counsel, their membership pays for that. But the people that's not members and we have to go to arbitration or we need legal advice, because they are not a member, they don't get those benefits. They have to pay out their pocket. I'm just giving you that illustration of that. So all I can say is they said sometimes membership pays. Hallelujah. It has to perk. I just wanted to, I know Dr. Matthews is probably about ready to run down the street. Come on, visionary. Is he still there, Strader? Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Is he there?
Yes,
he may not be there. Dr. Matthews, if you're talking, we can't hear you. Is there any more questions on the blog side?
No, ma'am. That's all we have at this time.
All right. I'm going to go to his son, Apostle Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pull on the next one. Because I'm like Pastor Aaron. I don't be knowing all the everything. I'm not going to pretend that I do. No, ma'am. No, sir. Hallelujah. We're going to open
Yes, sir, this morning, Dr. Wilk.
Come on, Apostle. Rescue your
powerful, 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 powerful. My God, so profound. Bless y'all on this morning to Visionary Dr. Matthews, to Pastor Aaron, and his mother, Selma Sidney, to Dr. Wilkes, Administrator Brian. Man, it was some powerful questions, and even what I heard about Pastor Aaron sharing and you, Dr. Wilkes. You know, and it's so ironic and funny at the same time. I said, God, you have a sense of humor. You know, I've been teaching just like on last night from a series of Growth Demands Change and coming to a place of Lord, deliver me because we are worst enemy. When we come into this place as believers in our relationship with God, as so many of you have said, especially when it comes to a point where someone has been violated, because we all have been violated in a certain way, whether it was sexually or whether it's been violated by the world systems or the things that we have been lied to, because many people are still being lied to. And
yeah,
many people have accepted the lie and believed the lie over the truth. We understand the scriptures and hold fast to that. When Christ has made us free, we should no longer be entangled with that. But, again, I understand everybody on different levels of faith. I believe if they would take the faith that they have, that God has given them, and connect it with the faith of God, I believe God will reveal to them every strategy, every attack, every thing that happened in the past. I believe that he will bring it full circle for us to walk out our deliverance, for us to walk in our freedom. That we won't, again, as you said, what the young lady that had been violated when the situation with Bill Cosby. And I like the way you explained it, Dr. Wilson, because everybody don't know the whole story. And Pastor Aaron, you're right, because there are three sides to a story. At first, we know it has to be God, because he's the one that sees all, knows all. His eyes is to and fro, mm-hmm, beholding the good and the evil. But when you, and Dr. Matthew broke it down yesterday as well, you are in that arena, such as Bill Cosby was. The elites, people think that the president and different ones control the world. No, you got some powerful people that's in the underworld that control this world. That's what the pandemic was all about. And that's why I thank God for people that have a strong relationship with God, and God revealed secrets and mysteries concerning his kingdom and concerning even the enemy attacks. Because he said he'll never leave us in the dark. He'll never leave us ignorant as his children to what the enemy is doing. He always would give us what we need to what? To counteract the plans of the enemy. So I just say, woman of God and man of God, to the people of God, that this is powerful this morning. I thank God for it. We just have to continue to pray for God's wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, that we come into our true identity with him. So whatever happened in our past, whether from childhood or even in our adulthood, we have to know that God is a liberator, God is a deliverer, he's a healer. Most people, you know, let me say this right quick, then I'm going to go back on mute, Dr. Wilkes.
Don't forget.
And I believe the younger generation have to learn this as well. This is why they need teachers in their lives. I heard someone ask that question just as Pastor Aaron broke it down about membership versus just, you know, you're going from church to church. Or because most people have been taught wrong about church. You got to know that you are the church. So wherever you go, in your house, on your job, driving down the highway, you are the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. We ain't talking about the four walls of the building, because we have been told wrong about church. And many people have watched their family members, they watch church folks, and they got a notion of what church is. They ain't really found out what the real church is. God began to deal with about the Ark of the Covenant. And over in 1 Peter 2:9, where we now, as his people, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we really come into our true identity and our relationship with God, that's why it has to be a relationship with God, not religion. Most people build a relationship on their religion, the church, and association that they're part of. So when you come in covenant, and my wife's going to share some of that tomorrow morning on the 3-Strand Cord Marriage Talk, the covenant is powerful. When you're in covenant, that's what you're saying. You're no longer in the old of you. You're now in the new. Because anybody know me in my past, I don't think they would want to know Maurice Dr. Wilkes. Now, they thank God for the new that God has brought me into, that I can walk in the integrity and characteristics of who God has called me to be a father, husband, to be a man of God, his servant, and be a brother to those, amen, that are my brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. We have to come into understanding. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That's why people have to be taught that people need covering. They need accountability. As many of you already said, we need accountability. Some folks want to, again, they want to do it me, myself, and I. They want to do it their way, the Burger King way. It can't be that way, where you're tossed to and fro. That's why so many are tossed to and fro. Even the younger generation, they need an example. If you haven't been through nothing, gone through nothing, how can you tell somebody about something that God can deliver you from? And this is why the chest, when you deal with the chest, the Ark of the Covenant, what's in your chest? It's the heart. So God judges your heart. He don't care about your outer appearance, whatever you come with. Amen. He's looking at your heart. He want to change your heart, because if he can change your heart, change your mind, he'll change your outcome. My God. See, y'all got me want to preach this morning. Bless y'all. Y'all got me stirred up. Y'all got me stirred up. Bless y'all on today. But it's in the heart, though. It's in that chest. You got the chest cavity. It's protecting the heart. It's covering us. It's shielding us. So you got to, what? Guard your heart with all diligence. So whatever happened in your past, you got to let God deliver you from it, heal you from it, because it's easy to revisit your past, and now you got to experience the pain. My God. Ooh, Lord, help us today. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much, Dr. Wilkes, Pastor Aaron. Pastor Aaron, man, you got to – I got to get your number, man, so we can dialogue a little bit.
Prophet Ford is your number to me, so I do have your number. I was going to text you later on today, so I can do that. I can text you later on today so you know it's me. Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, sir. I hear the wisdom coming out of you, man.
Word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, matter of fact, you mentioned being violated in one way or another. When the question was asked, you know, that occurred to me too. I said some of us have gone through even a violation of our trust. You know, I had to share with Prophet. I told Prophet, I said, Prophet, you know, please, you know, be patient with me. I said, because I'm learning how to trust now. I went through a season where I took on, you know, mentors and you know, people who were believed to, you know, help mentor me in life, these men had failed me terribly. I mean, my biological father had failed, my stepfather, you know, even though you know, we've gotten these things squared away, you know, even he failed, and he admit to his failure to that. So it brought upon me the ability not to trust, you know, especially when it came down to older men. Now, I would still be mindful, still be respectful, but completely trusting some more so a male figure had become, I know, at most definitely at the age of, I was 13, and I made up my mind, I'm not going to trust nobody no more. And then, you know, I shared with Prophet that I remember I was 21, and I think I said for the first time at 21, I grew angry with my biological father because I was going through some things. And when I was going through these things, I'm like, you know, the kid in me was like, why didn't nobody tell me of this? You know, so, you know, even as adults, we look for answers. And you know, you was mentioning about living through the pain for that moment. I really was like, wow, so you really had us, but you left us out on our own like that. So I had, for that moment, you know, I became even more bitter. I became more angry. I shared the testimony with a few people that because I was going through, and even facing some form of rejection, you know, from my father, and you know, feeling that I wasn't heard, or you know, I thought the enemy get in your head, though. The enemy get in your head and tell you, know, say anybody want to hear you, you don't matter. So it would cause me to shut down. It would cause me to become agitated. And I would make me aggressive towards people who want to genuinely be a friend to me, you know, even growing up in my teen years. But because I was out of such a better place, you know, I lashed out. I said, man, look, don't come near me. Don't bother me. And, you know, I was just, you know, it was just so much stuff that was built up inside, you know. And the people who know me now, they was like, man of God, if you did not reveal that, I would not have known that. Because, you know, I'm a person, I'm not very expressive, but but God is working with me even now to become more expressive. And I do want to say to the youth who are on the line, even down to us, you know, even down to the adults, I'm pretty sure everyone is pretty much either at adult age or just about, that you are not your mistakes. You are not your past. I'm going to be real. I had my son. I was 17 years old. I was my only child. I was 17 years old, in high school. You know, and because my mother was a minister or a pastor, you know, I got more backlash. Matter of fact, I even got a little bit of backlash from my own peers. It was like, you got ain't your mama the pastor? You know, so there were people who tried to make me feel bad about having a child. You know, because my mother was a pastor, my mother was saved, that her salvation was not contingent to mine. You know, that's something that, you know, you have to get for your own. You know, and matter of fact, even when you become saved, becoming saved does not automatically change your mindset. You have to really commit yourself. It's a struggle daily. And sometimes the struggle ain't so bad each day as the next, but you have to decide day by day that I'm saved. I want to be saved. I want to be on fire for God. Even leaving, we had this conference, you know, God dealt with me, and I shared my testimony with a few people. I shared with Dr. Wilkes what took place Sunday morning with me. But the revelation that God told me was, if I'm calling you to go up, how dare you go down? You know, I wanted to share that with you all on today. But once again, you are not your mistakes. I'm not saying my child was a mistake, because honestly, it took my son coming on the scene, because even though this is a line for the youth, I went through a season in my teen years, right, and I said I had lost hope for my generation and the generation after. It literally took my son coming on the scene to even shift my mindset from that. Well, I was like, well, dog, I can't be bitter or hateful. No, I mean, I got this whole, it's a baby here, you know. So my mindset was like, man, my father, you know, pretty much left me out of my lonesome, and I refuse to do the same to my own. So, and even down to being a young father, I'm not perfect. You know, there are times where God literally had to get me together. I remember I went on a voluntary fast some months ago. I went on the fast, and I was fasting. And, you know, God gave me all this good word. But I'm going to tell you something. Any word from God is excellent. Because this is what God said. God says, you know, yeah, he may be your child, but he was mine first. you're gonna start talking to him and you know, talking to him like that. You're gonna chill out. You know, I mean, he ain't said it like that, but you know, that's how God pretty much God got on my case pertaining, you know, to my own natural child. Yeah, he may be yours, but he was mine first. And I mean, if that was not a word to get you together, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is, but there are things that God would tell me. You know, matter of fact, God hit me with a revelation some months ago. The reason why you can't have this and that and third, because you got an attitude. You got an attitude problem. So we all struggle with some vices. You know, and it's not so when I am polite, it's not that I'm faking being polite, but I know I have my limitations when it comes down to being sociable. You know, but even God is working on me now, you know, about being sociable. Okay, if your pastor is going to cause you, you're going to have to be sociable. You're going to have to express some things. And what I love when Dr. Wilkes is explaining this line to me, these are some heavy-hitter questions that the church is oftentimes afraid to get into. The church is often afraid to ask or talk about. You know, people want to whisper and keep stuff a secret, but when stuff gets exposed, that's when it becomes full scale. You got to expose the enemy right there on the spot. Because the longer you let something linger and go on, that thing becomes festering. I was in a place where I felt that I was okay with being hateful, because if I can hate, that means if something bad would have happened to a person, I don't have to worry about being sympathetic. You know, I mean, I wasn't going to be gloating about nobody going through, but I wanted to really kill all emotion because I was going through what I was going through. And, you know, I had to learn that, you know, it ain't just me. Everybody goes through stuff. You know, everybody has had been through some form of violation or some form of exposure. You know, but when I say it really takes God, and what helps is when you have people of God, like true people of God in your corner, not people who confess by name, but when their actions speak. You know, my mother is not just my mother. Because, you know, and people see us now and think that we've been all getting along all before. It honestly took us going through different things in our own seasons to honestly come together and realize this is it. So my mother was not just my mother, but my mother really became my covering, my pastor. No matter what we may have had going on, if we may have fell out here or there, I knew and we knew that when it came down to it, we had to pull together. And I thank God for her, and I thank God for the other leaders that I'm getting to know. I thank God for you, Apostle Simmons. And I was sharing with Prophet on the other day that I even thank God for even meeting Elder Hunter and meeting Pastor Flowers and then even a few more men, even down to Brother Shannon, you know, because that blessed me to see men willing to work for the Lord. Because again, my ministry is mostly made up of women and kids. So, you know, I'm praying that, you know, as I go out and launch forth, that God is going to, you know, answer my prayers. Because I was praying to God, you know, I need some men. I need some men in this ministry. And it's not for show or for namesake, but there's some work, even physically, that needs to be done. I need some men. So please pray my strength in the Lord. Okay, I ain't mean to take it that far, but, you know, I know it's going to be another point in time, and I will express some more things. I did mention that I may speak about how I became a pastor, but I just feel led that I'll use that as another time if somebody even asks that question or next go around. I'll explain, you know, I'll talk about how it came to be that I became a pastor, because this was not something, this is not a place that I saw myself being in. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Dr. Wilkes. Amen.
Thank you, man of God, men of God. I thank Mother Sydney this morning for her amen and her prayers. Also, Administrator, is there any more questions or comments on the blog side?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
Okay. All right, people of God, on the blog talk, I'm sorry, on the prophetic conference line. If anyone have questions or comments there, I ain't forgot about y'all. You can star six your line and come right on in at this time. Now, don't be sitting over there. You've been sitting back long enough. You have something.
Dr. Wilkes.
Yes, sir.
Can I say this, and then I'm going back on mute so I can go to work? Bless the Lord. Hey, I just want to encourage us as the men and women of God and the people of God, and this is something that I always just the church on to encourage them. When the enemy comes to bring up your past and your past wants to have a conversation with you or for you, just change the conversation. Just change the conversation, because my past won't dictate my future, my past, whatever conversation it is, because that's where we talk about right much. And I think you hear Dr. Matthews, other leaders talking about their legal sounds. That voice, it would come to bring up your past, to cause you to now to relive your past. Well, you are now a new creation, whether young, middle age, or in your senior years. You just change the conversation, and sometimes you got to change your address so the enemy won't find you. Man, that's that new creation that God has called us to be. Just change the conversation. I love talking about a kingdom, when you have a kingdom conversation. I know we talk earthly and physically, but when your conversation changes, then you mess the enemy all up. You know, my past is my past. That's in my past. You can't take me back to my past. It ain't nothing wrong with thinking, looking back over your life and looking where God has brought you from. And I tell my testimony all the time, because without no test, there's no testimony. And that's why, Pastor Aaron, you had to go through what you went through, because God is going to use you powerfully, man of God, to speak into other young men's lives, even older men. The wisdom that come out of you is going to bless them. You, many people, many men are going to break through your testimony, through you sharing the wisdom of God, what God has downloaded, deposited in you. From his word, that's going to cause many men to break and weep like babies, because they're like, wow, I know that got to be God. And I hear it coming from you, man of God. So just get ready. Know that what you've gone through, it wasn't in vain. It was just your preparation, your teaching, that you had to learn through some things. Even as you said about your attitudes, it's God is dealing with you in that area. None of us is perfect. Like Prophet always said, we're flawed, but we're favored. And God wants to use us as his servants, as his conduits, his instruments, that he will get the glory out of our lives. So people of God, just be encouraged. Change the conversation. When it comes, don't even sit there. Don't even entertain it. Shut it down. That's why the Bible talks about over in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapon of warfare is not carnal. It's not fleshly. We don't entertain it, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Bring it all what? Into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, bless y'all on today. Appreciate you, Dr. Wilkes. Thank you, Pastor Aaron.
Good morning. I have a hold on just a minute, my guy. I have a statement that I've said this for years. Don't let the past predict your future. All right, good morning, woman of God.
Good morning. God bless you, Dr. Wilkes, and God bless you, Apostle Simmons, and Pastor Aaron, all of those that are on the line. This is Sister Donna. I just have a comment. I thank Almighty God for what I've heard thus far. It's such a blessing, and I thank God for y'all's wisdom. The Most High God, it was some years back, the enemy was attacking me so, and he began to bring up my past. And it's like any time I ever went down in my spirit, it would only last for 3 days. On that third day, it would be a righteous indignation would always rise up in me, and I would come at that devil and rebuke him, and I would rise back up. It never would last no more than 3 days. On that third day, it's like I would rise. But how God told me this. He said the next time, he said anytime the devil, when Satan will bring up your past, he said this is what you do. You bring up his. And watch him flee. Bring up his past. Let him know what he lost. I'm the video sire. Let him know what he lost. What he once had, he'll never have again. He lost. He's a defeated foe. With the saints of the Most High God, when we love Almighty God, yes, all have fallen short of the glory of God. But I thank Almighty God that our names is written. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And our destiny is eternal life with the Most High Almighty God. So God told me, he says, if he bring up your past, then bring up his. Let him know. how stupid he was, and he is a defeated soul, and what he lost and what he'll never be able to get again, and watch him flee. And when I did that, it's like the enemy would flee just like that when you bring up his past to him. So I thank Almighty God for what Apostle Simmons was saying as well. I thank Almighty God. We don't entertain that devil. We take authority over those thoughts, cast that imagination down, and we know that all of us are not in that same place, had to grow and had to get into certain places and still growing, still maturing in the things of Almighty God. But when that devil bring up your past, bring up his past and watch him flee. In Jesus' mighty name, God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, woman of God. Anyone else on the blog, I mean, or conference line?
God bless you, Mother. I'm sorry. Dr. Wills, this is
yes,
Mother Johnson.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, Mother. How are you?
I thank God.
I'm sorry, as prophet as you could say in the past.
Yes, I was listening. It's so strange. I got up this morning, and I had this conversation with the same conversation with the Lord about the young lady that was dealing with her situation about the Bill Cosby suit. And me and God had a conversation before I even dialed in, and because I went through that, I went through so much. I said, Lord God, really? But God began to deal with me because I had a spirit of anger, a spirit of hatred, a spirit of bitterness. And see, God dealt with me. He said, when you open up that door and allow anger, bitterness, hatred to come in, it brings with it more demons. And then it's harder for you to get delivered than it would be if you just asked God to help you and stayed on that course. But see, that young lady has to go down a course. She has to go through the process. She has to go through something that's going to help her get through this, and God is the only one that can help her. But with the testimonies of the saints, God is helping her. Because when I went through my situation, I had such bitterness, and God called me on the carpet so quickly because he knew if it ever really took root, I'd be a danger to myself first and then to others. And so when God dealt with me, he told me, he said, I was racing to get away since I dropped my daughter off, and I've told the story many times, to take her to a bathhouse. And I was racing to get away. And God spoke in my spirit, you need to be delivered. That broke something, and me and God had a dialogue that we had to have with another individual. And he said, you need to be delivered. And I said, I began to rehearse what I went through. And God said it with love, and he said it the second time. And he said, you need to be delivered. It broke something in me. And I began to cry. And that Sunday I went to church, and that was the pastor's message. He preached my life. But what I'm saying is, because he has opened up the door, anger and a lot of the other spirits that are that anger is growing, and it's making it hard for her to get past that boulder in the road now that she is. When she gets to the point where she said, I need your help, and she begins to release that individual for what they did to her and put them into the hands of the Lord, because I've been raped. And it took a long time for me to get over that thing. But when I released it into God's hands, I began to open up the door to God's spirit and everything that comes with God's spirit. God talks about peace. That he said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Peace was a part of the fruits of the Spirit. I begin to, that surpasses all of man's understanding. And that's because I turn from listening to what, as Apostle said, listening to what the enemy had to say to me,
because it soothed my flesh, and it gave my flesh what it needed to eat on. But when I turned and started listening to God and started building on what he was saying, and it's not an easy thing if you really don't have the power of God down in you. When I began to turn and listen to what God had to say through his word, it began to grow all the fruits of the Spirit. And it begins when I saw the individual again, then I was able to deal with that spirit that came against me. No, we don't have any dealings with each other because I'm not opening up that door again. But I was able to love that individual. I was able to see past that individual and saw the spirit that was in that individual that made it come against the spirit that was in me, because it's a war of the spirits. That's what it is. And right now she's warring with the spirit of the enemy, but she needs the spirit of God to come in and to allow the spirit of God to do what he's going to do, because God did say vengeance is mine. But when we take vengeance upon our own selves, then we start to fight the fight, and the enemy knows if we fight, he knows we're going to lose. But if we allow God to fight for us, we will win. He said, I always cause you to triumph, but you only triumph when you do it my way. Mm-hmm. So that's what I had to say, woman of God. I thank God that, like I said, before I even got on the phone, me and God had the same conversation, because I knew I needed to be delivered, because I was getting ready to fight up in church. When I finally got divorced, somebody approached me, and I've never been a fighter. That spirit was still there, and God had to deal with that spirit. I was like, oh, God, I can't be fighting up in church. But that spirit will take you to where you don't want to go. But if you do it God's way, she will have the peace that surpasses man's understanding. That's what I had to say, and I'm so glad I got a chance to get in there and see it. So, Dr. Wilkes, thank you for the opportunity. Amen.
Thank you, Mother. Amen. It's so good to hear the voices for the people that I can put faces with the voices,
yes,
that I hear over the line. Amen. Just personally. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else on the conference line? Great morning over to Janie, my tag team buddy.
Amen. Amen. We certainly honor the Lord, woman of God. We're super excited, amen, about our future. Amen. We're honored by the Lord, amen. Just listening in, amen, I'm so godly proud, amen, of my not just natural son, but my spiritual son, amen. Just like Apostle Simmons said, all week long since upon coming back from the conference, all I kept hearing, you're going to live to see it happen. You're going to live, glory to God, hallelujah, to see it happen. So live, 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 live. And so I've been hearing that song all week long this week, and to literally see the manifestation of that I am living, to literally see it happen. And my not just natural son, but my spiritual son, I'm super excited, amen. Even just hearing him, amen, and then plus hearing him this morning, amen, just already seeing the elevation and the growth and the increase, amen, even in his life, amen, and everything that God, he desires, amen, from the Lord, he is receiving it. The beauty of God is that I've never, ever raised my children to let them know that I'm your mama and your daddy. Amen. But I've honored, but the Lord told me several years ago, over 20 years ago, he said, listen, you're just a babysitter. You understand what I'm saying? I was going through a phase one Thursday, and I was just having a moment, and God just literally shut me down. I said, well, God, I don't have nobody. You know, the father not doing this, and I don't have nobody, and it's just me. And God shut me down. God said, how dare you? Don't you ever take the mindset that it's just you. He said, as far as I'm concerned, you're just a babysitter. They belong to me. And even hearing that, repeating what God said to me this morning, it just brings me, it quivers from the inside out, because truly from that moment to right now, my children can tell you, that's what I've been. That was my mindset. I'm just their babysitter. because they belong to God. And so just like the man of God said, Pastor Aaron, amen, that I just couldn't handle them any way I wanted to handle them. Do you understand? And so, and a lot of times we as parents, and I'm going to end on this, we as parents, we take our children. Yes, they're our natural children, but at the end of the day, they belong to God. We get the mindset that train up a child in the way that they should go and they won't depart. But see, no, we like to, you know, what we like to say is honor thy mother and thy father. But see, we forget that part in the word where it says, provoke not our children to wrath. You understand what I'm saying? We want to beat down the child, our young folks, with honor thy mother and thy father. You understand? But at the end of the day, in order for them to get, for them to give respect, I believe at a certain level, children need to be respected. So I honor the Lord again for this platform, woman of God. When the man of God, Pastor Aaron, mentioned this, amen, it blessed my soul. I said, man of God, I said, just follow the woman of God. I said, it's such an honor, amen, and a privilege just to see you in this platform. I honor the fact, amen, that God dealt with me literally overnight. It's like miraculously when God spoke to me how long ago, amen, that God was calling him into the and to take over this ministry. And he can tell you, amen, that we thought it was another one of his siblings, amen, for years. And one night God spoke to me and God said, no, it's him. Come on, somebody. It was him. And when I approached him, I think a day or so later, I said, God said, it's you. And he said, I know. And so that from that moment, I promise you, he can tell you from that moment to this morning, he has been nothing but a man of God. Cannot even handle him as Aaron. We joke, I mean, we find ourselves even right now, because technically me and my children, we grew up together in a sense. You know what I'm saying? People would automatically assume for years that we were brothers and sisters, but the trauma and the stuff that we endured together, it caused us to really mature together. But I mean, even right now, he can, like he said, he can tell you, I can't handle him just like, okay, he's my son, Aaron. I have to approach him with such a manner of respect. Amen. Because again, when I'm speaking to Aaron, then it's Aaron. But definitely 99% of the time, it has been Pastor Aaron. And so he knows it's not his mother speaking to him, but his pastors are speaking to him. And so I'm just excited. I'm excited about his future and where God is taking him. I thank God for Apostle Simmons, especially his spiritual father, Prophet Matthews. Amen. Even down to that respect. Amen. I know my place. Amen. I told the man of God because they decided, him and his spiritual sister, they decided to call this man of God their spiritual father. And I told them, I said, listen, whatever y'all got going on between y'all, that's between y'all. You know, as a pastor, as a woman, amen, a leader, I know how to stay in my lane. Amen. Nugget for some other women. Nugget for some other women. I don't care how long, how all day long you want to say you've been a mama and a daddy. Baby, you female. Amen. Bless you, Dr. Wilkes. Love you on today. It was an honor, woman of God, serving with you, tag teaming with you. Amen. God bless you on this morning.
Amen. I was telling Pastor Aaron last night, I said, your mama, I can preach with her anytime. So as long as I don't have to be doing all the preaching and I can just do the other side. I said, I love that. Amen. Hallelujah. For God. It's so wonderful how everything just flowed on that. It's just...
Amen. Woman of God, I want to add to what, I want to say what Dr. Matthew said. I am so godly honored and proud again to serve with you. Like the man of God said when he first started, opened up the line this morning, I can concur. I'm like, oh my God, yes. I've been meaning to get with you this week, text you, call you, just to let you know how honored I was. I am, amen. But I want to add to just confirm or concur to what he was saying. Yes, ma'am, when you were going forth on Sunday, I've heard you teach. Amen. Over and over again on this conference line, even on your personal page, amen, for your services on Sunday mornings and stuff. And I just sit back in the cut and just listen and awe and amazed, amen, of how God used you mightily. But Sunday, come on, somebody say Sunday morning. Amen. We witnessed another level, woman of God. You've reached multiple levels. You reached, amen. We witnessed, we saw, we heard, amen, on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, a totally different person. I was just sitting there like, man, and I'm going to tell you, this is how, who I am. I don't have to be in the spotlight. I promise you I won't. I'm a cheerleader. I will push and I will encourage all day long. Amen. But I said, even when I was sitting there, I said, God, if man, if prophet even changed his mind or say, woman of God, that's it. That's it. I promise you, I would have been so, so honored just to have you go forth just, amen, alone and be your cheerleader. You understand what I'm saying on Sunday morning? I was just in awe, and I'm so excited. Can't wait to see what else God has in store for you, woman of God. It was such an honor to witness God using you prophetically. Amen, in the fullness. God bless you.
Amen. I was sharing with Pastor Aaron last night, and I was actually empty when I came to the church that morning. And I shared with him, I said, I told God, I know I got these notes, but I'm not feeling nothing. I know that I was zero. The mysterious. I was nervous, which I normally am when I have a speaking engagement. I told God in my prayer, I said, if you got to speak to your people, because I had these notes. But I said, God, I need you to speak because I don't know nothing to say. How to put it together. I mean, I had it wrote out, but it just added. And as I told Pastor Aaron last night, I said, God, these are your people. You know exactly what they need. Told us to study. When we open our mouth, the word of God says, he speak through it. So he did. He spoke. Even the woman of God that came with me, the evangelist Will, had been knowing me for 14 years now. She said, I want to do, have to know that you speak in such a way. She said, I've never heard you in such a magnitude. She said, you need to preach that one again. She said, do he know? I have no idea. I want to say this. I appreciate so much Dr. Matthews pulling stuff out of me since I've been on this line. All the youth pulling on me, asking me questions. Different ones. Prayer. Started off with the midnight prayer. I will be all every day on the midnight hour, then get up for the 5 a.m. and be just going 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. I just appreciate God so much. I'm such a crybaby, y'all. I don't know nothing else but him. All I want him to do is do what he does. I forever want to stay as a servant. Yeah. I appreciate God so much. God, I may not ever get to the level that I think that I want to be. I said, but as long as I'm pleasing you, that's all I need. It was so nervous for me to share a platform with such powerful men and women of God. Lord, I'm just a rooty sheet. That's how I feel at times. Yeah. I soon will be 59 years old, and I say I feel like I'm so far behind in ministry. This is Carlina speaking. I feel like I'm far behind in ministry. But God knows it's right on time in his time. Because where some of us want to be, people so busy trying to get pushed and they got to be seen and they got to have a church and they got to do this because folks ain't doing this. I am not one to promote Carlina. And there are so many that they go before the time of God filling out because they miss something in the process. They may not get all of the vitamins and the minerals that they needed to get in the growth spurt that they go through. They miss all of that because they're so busy pushing their agenda. People, if you don't get nothing else, please get seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then he said, all these things shall be added unto you. What are the things? Whatever he wants to add to you, he will add those things. And I have to just continuously to say, and we done talked today, sometimes y'all know I'm a spiritual person. We done talked and we done talked and we done talked. But one of the things that I do know, hallelujah, and I stand on the word of God because that's all I know is to stand on it. But not only if you after you seeking first the kingdom of God. This is one of the foundational scriptures that you need to add to your list. And that's Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou mayest observe to do accordingly to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Keep it in your mouth. You got to meditate it on day and night, the word. You got to do what it asks you to do. Because when he does things, he does it well. And I always will remember when I was a little girl, sitting on the last pew of Holy Temple Church of God in Christ in Benton Harbor, Michigan. I didn't know a personal relationship with the Lord, but I knew this, that I was engulfed. I was fascinated by the Sunday school teacher's words that was spoken to me. The word of God is being taught. Oh, hi, grandson. He won't talk to me now. He wouldn't talk to me a few minutes ago. But I'm saying this. He just told me to take no thoughts of what you should eat and drink. He was talking to the disciples. That just stuck with me. I always believed that my gift would make room for me. I don't never have to do nothing myself. Because if I knew, let God be God, You hear what I said? If I let God be God, he opens up the door. He set me before great men and great women. He does that. Alina don't do that. I don't go find out, ooh, let me find out who the XYZ's over here. Who got it going on over there? Let me get close to them and be, you know, let me get in part of that clique and that crowd. And maybe, you know, they can, you know, they can just pass on something to me. Not so. Because elevation, Prophet always says, no man can pull you down. But if man set you up, man will pull you down. You can always count on that. So is there any more questions or comments this morning? Anyone else?
We bless the Lord. Well, we thank God for today, for the first Friday of the month, and all that the Lord is doing through many of the great men and women of God and awesome teaching on today. I think this subject is a very powerful one that you all dealt with today. And this would be a good subject for this month, especially dealing with so many people who have encountered abuses, whether it's sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, relationship abuse. This is a good subject here that kind of took a twist today, and to deal with those matters. Another thing is, thank God for her sharing those things that you shared as well. Evangelist Woods and so many others, Administrator Brian did too. And I think the question that came up yesterday regarding the situation with Bill Cosby that's now coming back up again. So many of these encounters triggered many reactions from people who have been through these experiences, and they're sitting in churches, and they're sitting in on jobs, and they're listening in, and some don't know how to deal with these matters from a transparent place or position. But this is very much needed right now for the lives of so many people who are living these experiences in a real time. And that's why when we deal with this topic here, and I know this isn't the actual topic here, but when the topic comes back up of dealing with being sexual abuse, sexually assaulted, rape, innocence, violations, those, and the list goes on, that those subjects open up a lot of the people's lives, and especially childhood trauma that many people are facing, the childhood trauma in their adulthood life. That's a subject that we have not really dealt with to its entirety. So this is a good place to start today. And we thank God for Pastor Aaron joining you and allowing God's will to be done through him and in him today. So that was a blessing today. So we thank God for you today, man of God, and thank God for you, Evangelist Wilkes, and so many of you all on today. So I just bless the Lord today. Let's keep this subject in the forefront a little bit more because it's really needed right now. And many people are getting deliverance, and even the silent deliverance that's needed from so many areas of people's lives, and restoration, restoring people's lives through the conference line. Of the people. So I just bless the Lord for you all on today. Once again, we thank God for you, Evangelist Wilkes, Pastor Myers, and Dr. Gainey, Apostle Simmons, Administrator Brian, and those who else came in and shared some of our local leadership. Bless the Lord for you all as well today. And so we bless the Lord for you all today. Thank you so much.
Bless you again, missionary. All right. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you on this morning, Lord God, for what our ears have heard. And God, hallelujah, how you have come in and did what you needed to do on this morning. And thank you right now, hallelujah, because we know we are nothing on our own. We appreciate you, God, allowing us to operate in your spirit, in your power, in your authority, to help men and women, boys and girls all over the world be able to walk the journey of life. We thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. That, oh God, as we continue to move forward, Father, hallelujah, that you and you alone, hallelujah, to be able to continue, oh God, to help our mindset, spirit, Lord God, hallelujah, to come into relationship with you. Lord, as we depart from this place but not from your presence, we know that many will be doing all of this celebration over the holidays, weekends, Father, even, hallelujah, on Sunday, people will be just turning out all over the place, doing this, that, and the other. I pray, oh God, that they will have a cognitive spirit. And Lord, whatever they do, that they will acknowledge you. They will become, oh God, hallelujah, in alignment with you in the name of Jesus. We pray for safety. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, that no fires will break out. We pray, oh God, that a shield will go around about, oh God, those that use these explosives, oh God, just to have a little entertainment. That, Lord God, that there will not be any deaths or tragedies prematurely. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that we want to rebuke all of the demonic activities that come in at this time, trying to rid people here, there, and everywhere. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, over those that are not stable in their mind to even think about and appreciate administrators so much, oh God. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, that you would strengthen the woman of God behind the scenes. Oh, God, hallelujah, we know that it's only because of you that we move, we breathe, and we have our being. Now, Father, I ask, oh, God, hallelujah, anyone that is on this line, they may not be encouraged even the more that the word has gone forth this morning in such manner that it is. That you will help that individual, help those that are struggling with life. God, let them live and not die. But, Lord God, hallelujah, they may not declare the word, but they can declare, hallelujah, that they, oh God, somebody in you. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, for those backsliders, Lord God, that is out there, that's struggling, Lord, how to get back. Let them repeat and do their first work over you. Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are looking, Lord God, to have a relationship with you. Allow your love to flow, Lord God. No matter what type of situation that they find themselves in, Lord, let them know that you love them, oh God, that you're willing, Lord God, to forgive them for all unrighteousness. If they just turn it over to you, that you can save their very soul. Fill them with your spirit, oh God, to allow them to know that they can walk in the peace that surpasses all understanding in the name of Jesus. Now, God, it is the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart. Be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Be the same. Amen. All right, administrator, prophet, I'm not sure who's on the board right now.
Yeah. Amen. Bless you, woman of God. Would announce for them to be that July 21st to the 23rd, I'll be in the city of Montgomery, Illinois, ministering for a good friend, Bishop Ship. What's the name, Minister?
Gary Hoop.
Bishop Cook. Bishop Cook will be with Bishop Cook. Hook will be with Bishop Cook July 21st to the 23rd. Then we're heading to New Jersey, Brownsville, New Jersey, August 19th to the 21st. And then we'll be heading to San Antonio, Texas, September 18th. We'll be there with that. So just getting yourself accordingly, and we'll give you more information about our Family Value Conference coming up in the month of October. And we'll have more information about that forthcoming. We thank God today for the day that God continues to follow us as we share the word of God on Facebook Live and on Sunday morning services. Many of the kingdom leaders be ministering the word of God. So we bless the people of God on today. We thank God for them. All right, people of God, continue to have a great day in the Lord. Thank you, administrator. We divine, again, with the color of the rich and one and only pastor. And I was connecting with him. Tomorrow morning, 5 a.m., will be Apostle Murray Simmons' wife, Prophetess Eugenie Simmons, on dealing with the topic of relationship, marriage, and the family. So we look forward to that. All right, thank you, God. Continue to have a victorious day and weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Be blessed now. Shalom. And quarters, I pray for you on today. God bless you.
The book is now available.
The book is now available.
The Ultimate Read. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. presents Love, the Unfinished Chapter. The brand new read by Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. It's available now. Love, the Unfinished Chapter. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. presents Love, the Unfinished Chapter with a very special foreword by the late great Bishop Rance Allen. Available now. You can purchase your book at WeRestoreYou.org.
That's WeRestore, the letter U.org.
On Amazon.com, or you can call area code 708-825-1988.
Area code 708-825-1988.
For an autographed copy, order from WeRestoreYou.org. Order today. Get ready to enjoy the latest from Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. Love, the Unfinished Chapter. Order your copy today.
Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreYou.org. That's WeRestore, the letter U.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
it
down.
Raining now, here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
Waging war.
I promise.
Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreYou.org. That's WeRestoreU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Your line has been disconnected by the moderator. Goodbye.